We need him, don't we? Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you would. We're going to be actually using our Sunday night study for this morning. So Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, the subject of Samuel. This will be the third message in a series. But if you missed the first two, it's no big deal. Won't affect this message at all. And so this morning, you said, well, in the bulletin, nobody looks at the bulletin, but if you did, it says the sermon title message is Manoah's wife. And you say, who's Manoah? Well, we're going to find out this morning. It's Samson's daddy. Miss Manoah, we don't have her, her name. We don't know her name, but she was the mother of the strongest man who ever lived. Imagine that, being the mother of the strongest man who ever lived. Samson. Look with me, Judges chapter 13, and let's look at verse 22 and 23. Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would he, as at this time, have told us such things as these. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. We pray that you bless this time. Bless the reading, the preaching, and the application. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We think about the book of Judges. I do want to give just a little bit of background And we think about Genesis chapter 1. We have the foundation of the world and God creating all things. We have the fall of mankind in Adam when Adam sinned and plunged the human race into its sinful condition. We have the flood of the whole earth and Noah. And we have the fragmentation of society there at the Tower of Babel when mankind was scattered and the languages were scattered. Probably around 70 different language groups. And mankind was scattered around the globe. Then we have the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph in Genesis chapter 12 through chapter 50, the rest of the book of Genesis. About 350 years, you learn about Abraham's family. Then we find at the end of Genesis that Joseph brings his family, brings the Israelites, the Jews, down to Egypt. And there they dwell for 400 years. And between the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus, you have 400 years transpire. And when Exodus begins, you find out there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And now we have the Israelites in Egypt under bondage and servitude and given hard jobs to do. And they begin to cry out to God. And God hears their cries. Aren't you glad God hears our cry? God hears the Jews' cry. And God sends Moses. And Moses goes into Egypt. And God, through great and miraculous miracles, the 10 plagues, delivers the children of Israel out of Egypt. They come to the Red Sea, and God parts the waters, and they come across. They come to Mount Sinai. There they receive the 10 commandments, and so forth and so on. And so 40 years they wander in the wilderness, and then finally they come to the River Jordan under Joshua, and they cross the Jordan River, and they fight for Canaan. They fight for Canaan. So we have the flight from Egypt, and then we have the fight for Canaan. In about 35 years or so, they subdue most of the people of the land of Canaan, and they dwell there. And they were given portions of land. Each 12 tribes of Israel, everybody stay with me, 12 tribes of Israel, each tribe was given a portion of land. There was a portion of land given to the tribe of Dan. And we see in our story, in chapter 13, that Manoah was of the tribe of Dan, the Danites. Look at verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And so we have a Danite, Manoah of the tribe of Dan, there dwelling in the land of Canaan under the period of Judges. So you had the flight from Egypt, you had the fight for Canaan, and then after the fight we have the fluctuation under the judges. And so in this judgment, in this fluctuation time, you have seven times, 300 years, by the way, for 300 years, you have Israel fluctuating under judges. And judges, not really what we think of judges, but deliverers. In other words, God would send men and God would send and a couple ladies too, and deliver the children of Israel out of oppression. And so you'd see Israel serve the Lord, then you'd see them sin, then you'd see God send them, send someone to oppress them. He would judge them. You would see the children of Israel cry out to God, and then God send a deliverer. And you see this happen in the book of Judges 7 times. That's why it's called the fluctuation under the judges. 7 times, 7 fluctuations over a period of 300 years. And if you think about it, Israel did more good than they did bad. We're thankful for that, right? If you want to read the story, it's a great story. But here you find Samson. Samson is the last judge mentioned. So he's the 14th judge. He comes in a period of time in which the children of Israel have been in oppression for 40 years under the Philistines. The Philistines. So Israel sinned yet again, and God sent judgment, an oppressor, and the oppressor he used was the Philistines. And the Philistines oppressed them for 40 years. This was the longest time, if you read the book of Judges, that the children of Israel had been oppressed. Another unique thing about this situation is, unlike the previous judges, this judge was not sent in regards or in light of Israel crying out to God for help. And nowhere in the story do you find Israel saying, hey, come and deliver us from the Philistines. It's not found there. I'm thankful for a gracious God that sends help anyway. Aren't you? Amen? I'm glad for a gracious God that gives us what we do not deserve. That's called grace. God's unmerited or God's unearned favor. And so God sends Samson. There are a few other unique things about the situation. It says that Samson was sent in verse 5. It says, let's look at there. Verse 5, it says, for lo, thou shalt conceive. He's talking to Manoah's wife. The angel of the Lord is. He says, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Doesn't say that he's going to deliver them. It says that he's going to begin to deliver them. Unlike the other judges, you can go back Gideon and all the other judges, you find them delivering the children of Israel out of oppression. Here we see Samson is just simply going to begin that deliverance. And that deliverance is culminated all the way several years later, 40, 50, 60 years later, underneath King David. And it's King David who finally delivers them from the Philistines completely. Philistines were continuing to be an annoyance. And my sermon this morning is not to give you a background on the Philistines, but they were a wicked people. So we find this context in which we find the birth of Samson. Samson. When we conjure up images of Samson, we think of strength. We think of the strongest man on earth, kind of that Hercules, if you would, except this is a true story. Samson, strong, but yet weak. I think in my own life, being raised in church from the time I was 2 years old, I think of more about Samson's failures than I do his victories. And rightly so. I believe his failures have more to teach us as human beings than probably his victories, right? So, but we need to be careful because if you look in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that's called the Hall of Faith. There's some great people in there. Noah and Abraham. I'm talking about people that you would regard as mighty giants of the faith. Guess who else is found in that book, in that chapter? Samson's there. And would you have thought Samson as, a mighty man of faith? Well, you can think all you want, but the Bible says that he was. That he was a mighty man of faith. Samson. Born to begin the deliverance of the children of Israel from oppression. We know that Samson had great potential. Born with that kind of strength and the Holy Spirit would come upon him. He was used mightily of God. But even with the enormous potential that he had, we find that he gave in to and squandered that potential and gave in to fleshly appetites. Hello? I need some amens. Somebody give me a witness. Anybody y'all know the story? All right. We can go home and read it. Samson. We think about verse 1 in The children of Israel were sinful again. God gave them into oppression of the Philistines. Galatians tells us that you do reap what you sow. As we think of the story of Manoah's wife, we think, number one, that she was nameless. There is no name given to her. But we know that she was faithful. That her and Manoah both were faithful. And again, time hinders me from giving the whole story, but during that same time underneath the oppression, the Danites, the tribe of Dan, moved north. They moved out of the land that was given to them by God, except for a remnant that stayed there in the town of Zorah. And guess who was part of the remnant that stayed in the land that God had given them? Manoah. You say, well, why did he stay? Well, the Philistines' territory was just a couple of miles away. Everybody was leaving because they didn't want to be next door to the Philistines. But some who had understood that that land was given to them by God stayed. Stayed in the home that was given to them. Stayed in the homes and given and on the land that was promised to them by God. Amen. By the way, if you obey God, and so God will protect you. And God protected this remnant. So it alludes to us that they were faithful. That they were faithful and were people of faith. And so this nameless woman, Manoah's wife, was a person of faith. Nameless, but blessed. Number two, she was a disappointed woman in that she was barren. She was barren. And to be barren in that society, to be barren in that culture, to not have children, you would have been one who would have been persecuted. You would have been mocked. You would have been a reproach. You would have been looked down upon. To not have children in that society, in that culture, meant significantly that you were not under the blessings of God. But I'm thankful in the Bible for a few of the but gods that are found there. But God had other plans. God had other plans. By the way, there were other women in the Bible whom now Manoah's wife is you know, in record with. In other words, she's in fine company. She's in good company. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sarah was barren. Abraham's wife. And God came to them. Rebecca was barren. She had two of them. Jacob and Esau, right? Hannah was barren. And she had Samuel. Elizabeth was barren. And she had John the Baptist. I think maybe the capstone to all that is Mary, right? Though she was young and so forth. But we do know the angel of the Lord came to her. There's lots of other, or the angel came to her. But those who are barren but blessed. She's in fine company, a God-fearing Israelite, an Israelite of faith, one whom was looked down upon by society, but God looks upon the heart. Hello. She was barren but not forgotten. What others thought, what the world thought of her, that's not what God thought about her. Hello? God looks on the heart. I'm thankful God is no respecter of persons. And again, as Christians, if we are faithful, God will bless us. If we are faithful, God will provide for us. Faithfulness. Trust and obey, for there's no other way, right? To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Trust and obey, God will bless you. God had blessed them. Apparently, too, Manoah was not a poor man. Must have had some substance. But again, we find this nameless woman, shunned by society, but loved by Almighty God. Number three, she was a privileged woman. Look with me in verse 3. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware and pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, or eat any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the land of the Philistines. So she was privileged in that she has a visit from God, a physical manifestation of God. I mean, a physical manifestation of God, seen. He was the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord, in fact, she describes him in verse 6 to her husband. She says, "Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, 'A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible.'" She describes this man of God. Again, placed among a group of great ladies who were visited by the angel of the Lord, Sarah and Rebecca and Hannah and Elizabeth. The angel of the Lord appeared unto these four ladies, whom we all would describe great ladies of faith. She must have been a great lady of faith. God's not going to use a vessel that's dirty and sinful and so forth. And God came to her. In fact, we see Manoah, her husband, later asked his name. He said, "What is your name?" Verse 17, look over there with me. Verse 17 and 18, same chapter. "And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, 'What is thy name? And when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor.'" In other words, tell us your name so that when these promises come to pass, we can give honor to your name. In verse 18, he says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto him, 'Why askest thou thus after my name? Seeing it is secret.'" Seeing it is secret. Manoah, again speaking to the angel of the Lord, understood who this was. In other words, when he said it is secret, the word secret in Hebrew is the same word for wonderful. The same word used in verse 19. Look at verse 19. "So Manoah took a kid from the meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel of the Lord did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on." That word wondrously there in the Hebrew is the same word as the word secret in Hebrew. The same word. The translators translated them secret in one place, wondrously in another place. It's the same Hebrew word that's found in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, where it's speaking of Jesus Christ. It's speaking of Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy concerning Jesus the Messiah. Isaiah says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful." The same Hebrew word used there as wonderful is the same Hebrew word as secret, which is the same Hebrew word as wondrously. The Bible will always interpret itself. It'll always interpret itself. You do enough cross-referencing, you'll find the definitions of these words. Listen, what he's saying here is, "I'm the Lord Jesus Christ." This was the Messiah. This was a theophany, is what we call it. It's an appearance, God manifesting himself in the flesh in the Old Testament. This happened on several occasions. Gideon and many others had the angel of the Lord appear unto them. Christ in flesh in the Old Testament. And that's why the title of these few verses is, "She was a privileged woman." She was privileged. She got to see the Lord Jesus Christ. She got to hear the Lord Jesus Christ and hear the promises from the Lord. So, well, how do you know this was the Lord and not simply an angel? Well, number one, he received worship. Angels don't receive worship. They offered that burnt offering and a meat offering before the Lord. And the burnt offering pictures Christ giving all for us. In other words, when the children of Israel put up a burnt offering, they would burn the entire animal, totally gone. And Jesus Christ gave all for us on the cross of Calvary. Picturing that. The meat offering speaks of Christ's sinlessness. And that no leaven was allowed in that meat offering. When we speak of a meat offering, it's talking about flour and meal, not beef like we would think, but, you know, grain and so forth. So how do you know that the angel of the Lord was something other than just a normal angel? Well, Manoah tells you in verse 22. "And Manoah said unto his wife, 'We shall surely die, because we have seen'" what? We've seen God. Manoah understood who was speaking to him. Once it was revealed, he knew who was speaking to him. God was speaking to him. He said, "We have seen God." And he was fearful. He was afraid. Why was he afraid? Well, you go back to Exodus chapter 33 and verse 20, where Moses asked God, "Show me thy glory." And God tells Moses, he said, "No man can look upon God, because if he does, he will die." So Moses was told that, and no doubt that was passed along. And Manoah thought, man, we have seen God and now we're going to die. Not the case, right? Manoah's wife gave some godly counsel there. But what a visitor. What a visitor to appear to Manoah. Actually, to appear to his wife first, which kind of says something as well. Hello, ladies? Must have been a great lady of faith. Didn't appear to the husband first, appeared to the wife first. A great visitor. What a privilege, what a blessing. And then we see she was a godly woman. And kind of along the same lines, she must have been walking with God. In order to be a chosen vessel such as this, in order to be a vessel used of God, she had walked with God. To be a vessel meet for the master's use or one that was usable, she had to have walked with God. A godly woman of faith. We also see that she submitted to the request. In other words, when the angel of the Lord said, you can't eat this and you can't drink that, she didn't say, I'm not doing that. No, she submitted to what the angel of the Lord told her to do. She submitted to God. She submitted and yielded herself as an instrument to be used of God. And can I remind each of us that we are simply bought with a price, and that we ought to glorify God in our bodies. It's our reasonable service. Present our bodies before Him. That is our reasonable service, that we yield ourselves to Him. Ladies, we all ought to be yielded to Him. She was a godly woman who understood what God was doing and yielded to His request. And may we yield to Him. Samson was to be separated unto God from the womb until death. Not just after he was born, but before he was born. Huh? Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. A godly woman. Ladies, are mothers today, are you yielded to God? Are you yielded to Him? Do you walk with Him? If you walk with Him and you yield to Him, He'll use you. I go back to such a lady of faith that was blessed of God so immensely. To be put in the same category as Sarah and Rebecca and Hannah and Elizabeth. What a place to be in. What a place to put yourself in. What a category to be in. Right? Ladies who have seen God. Five of them. Manoah's wife, one of them. Special lady. Wish I was a better preacher. Wish I could describe it better for you. And there's not a whole lot of, you know, this, and this about Manoah's wife. But you can certainly see it between the lines. Faithfulness, godliness, yieldedness. What a great lady. Then we see that she was also a wise woman. And this will kind of be our text, main text this morning. It says in verse 22, And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering or a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. Nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. Here we see a wise woman. A wise woman. She says, God's not going to kill us, or else He wouldn't have done all this. Why would God kill us after coming to us? He said He received our worship, He received our sacrifices. He revealed to us who He was. He revealed to us, He opened up and revealed to us who He was. And then He promised us such great blessing as being able to have a child. Why would He do all those things and then kill us? I think we must remember that as a man and a wife, that God gave us our wives to complete us. Hello? In other words, when Adam looked around, he named all the animals, and he saw that all the animals had male and female, but he had nobody. And God saw the same thing, and God said, I will give him a help meet, right? A help meet, a completer, one to complete him, right? Then he said that to Adam, to leave father and mother and cleave unto your wife, and they shall be what? One flesh, completer. My wife is my completer. If you hang around me and my wife very long, after we've been married 25 years, you'll know that it's absolutely true. It is amazing how many times I have counseled with people who marry opposites. So different in many ways, but yet so the same in many ways. And so me and my wife are opposites. And I won't go through all the characteristics that we are opposites in. Right? Because, again, we have a tendency to dwell on the negatives. But we both complete each other. We both complete each other. I will use one, and she won't mind. For the most part, I'm a morning person. She's a night person. Nine 9:30, I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed, you know. I've been called an old man since I was 15. If I could, I'd go to bed at 8. I can remember my great-grandparents going to bed at 8 or 9. But getting up really early. For the most part, we're opposites in that area. And a few other characteristics we may be opposites in. But we complete each other. I'm thankful. I am many times over-optimistic about things. My wife has the ability to bring me back down to earth sometimes. Sometimes I just go on anyway. And it seems to come back and bite me most of the time. I do want to point that out too. Isn't it amazing how we see the instinct of Manoah's wife rather than maybe the logic behind it as Manoah may have been thinking? Manoah's like, hey, Moses told us that if we see God, we're going to die. And you know, he was just logically thinking, this is what this... But yet we see the instinct, or if you would, the... You know how women are. It's like, they have such great instinct. It's amazing, right? Hello, guys. Sometimes we don't follow it like we should, but it's amazing how sometimes we can calculate and do all this other things, and she figured it out 3 days before. She said, watch out for that person, and then I had to have that person get me. She already knew they were going to. She knew it, right? Most of our wives are that way. Amen? Amen. And therefore, would you not consider that Manoah's wife was a good counselor? A help meet. The whole thrust is, maybe we ought to talk to our wives a little more. Oh, we'll talk to the guys at work, or, you know, we'll call our, you know, uncle's brother's nephew, or whatever. Maybe we're talking to our dad, but have you talked to your wife about it? Have you spent time with your wife about it? What does your wife have to say about it? Are you listening to her? Are you considering her counsel? And wives, the other way around as well. I mean, your best counselor ought to be your spouse. Hello. And so many times we have a tendency to listen to other people before we listen to our spouse. I'm thankful for my spouse, who in many areas is much smarter than I and wiser than I. I want to listen to her. And though sometimes it takes her a while to get the advice out, I'm appreciative of it. And sometimes I do have to say, she'll say, are you listening? And I, yes, I'm listening. Do you really want to hear this? Yes, I do want to hear it. I do want to hear your opinion. Amen? Good, I know this is kind of hard, so I'm going to move on. Manoah's wife, such a woman of wisdom, a woman of clear perception. A woman of clear reasoning, a communicator, a counselor, a completer, an encourager. Manoah's like, hey, we're going to die. This is it. This is the end. And Manoah's wife's like, oh, it's okay. No, we're not. Can you see that a little bit in the text, you know? It's all good. He wouldn't have done all these things if he was going to kill us. just an encourager, looking on the bright side of things, a positive attitude. One of the spouses is always going to be that way. And can I just tell you, man, it's great to be the positive one. I don't want to look at her. Well, I'm a realist. A realist is simply a pessimist hiding under the camouflage of a realist. Preacher, that's wrong. Well, good. You can be wrong all you want. An optimist, an encourager. I'm thankful that I have a wife who's an encourager. Many, many times I would have quit. Many times I would have quit if it wouldn't be for my wife. Not a doubt in my mind. Not one doubt in my mind. I'm thankful for the God who encourages me and lifts me up. But humanly speaking, if my wife hadn't have been around to encourage me in many, many different instances, I would have quit a long time ago. God's good, right? To give you the spouse that you absolutely need. An encourager, positive. She reminded him of something. She said, hey, he would not have accepted these sacrifices if he was going to kill us. Look there again. It says, but his wife said to him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offerings and the meat offerings at our hands. When I think of this, I think about the sacrifice that Christ made on Calvary. That Jesus Christ was that acceptable sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. That Jesus Christ died in my place, that he died in my stead, that he shed his blood for my sins. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That sacrifice acceptable unto God, the Bible tells us. And then the meat offering, we think of other sacrifices that we make as Christians. The sacrifice, if you would, of prayer, and the sacrifice of giving ourselves to him. All these sacrifices are acceptable unto God. Manoah's wife had been used as an instrument of God, and that was acceptable to God. God accepted that sacrifice. And then we see, number two, the gracious revelation. She said, look there again in verse 23. It says, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering in our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. In other words, he would not have revealed these things to us. I'm thankful for God revealing to us his Son. I'm thankful that God has revealed to us himself. As he revealed himself to Manoah and his wife, and Manoah said, hey, he's not going to kill us. He revealed himself to us. So has God revealed himself to us. He's revealed to us himself through creation. He's revealed himself to us through the Word of God. And God has revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. God has revealed himself for a purpose. And that purpose is that we might know him. That we might know him. See, we were created by him and for him. In other words, we were created for his good pleasure, Revelation tells us. We were created to have fellowship with God. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Manoah's wife's like, hey, he revealed himself to us. We know him. We've seen him. God revealed himself to us. Listen, I'm thankful at the age of 6 years old, God revealed himself to me, showed me that I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ came and died and was buried and rose again that I might have eternal life. I'm thankful that he reveals to him himself to me daily. That he shows himself to me daily. Not physically. Don't get me wrong here. He doesn't come to my bedroom and physically talk to me. But he speaks to me through that still small voice. He encourages me through his book. He encourages me as I look out into the Caribbean waters and see how clear they are and see all the fishes in there. He encourages me when I go to the Colorado Rockies and see the great mountain peaks and see the graciousness and how big and great our God is. When God reveals himself to me, it's an amazing thing. As I read his book daily, he reveals himself to me. How gracious and kind and wonderful our God is. And then lastly, the promise, the precious promise. She says to him, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. In other words, He would not have promised all these things if he was going to kill us. He would not have promised all these things. I'm thankful for the promises of God. I'm thankful the promises of God are yes. In other words, God keeps his promises. God never fails us. God never will fail us. God never lets us down. People let us down. Moms and dads and spouses let us down. Our kids can let us down. But God will never fail us. God always keeps his promises. And Manoah's wife was simply saying, hey, God is God and God cannot lie. God will keep this promise. Therefore, I can't die. I'm going to have a baby. And can I tell you this morning, God is the God who cannot lie. Hebrews tells us. And he's promised to take care of us. He's promised to provide for us. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised that he will not fail us nor ever forsake us. What a great God we have. At what time we are afraid, we're to trust in him. When we fear, we ought to trust in him. When we're depressed, we must rest upon the promises of God. When we worry, we must remember the promises of God that he'll never fail us, that he'll never forsake us. Remember his precious promises. Maybe this morning you're here and you worry about stuff. Maybe you're here this morning and you have something going on in your life that seems insurmountable, seems an impossible situation. I'm thankful that I serve a God who's the God of the impossible. I'm thankful I serve a God who can take the worry away. I'm thankful for a God who can take the depression away. I'm thankful for a God whom I serve is big and mighty and mighty and strong. If I'll simply be faithful, he will bless me and use me. Happy times were had of Manoah's wife, it says in verse 24, and she bare a son and called his name Samson. Guess what the word name Samson means? It means sunny. And really, you can follow the disposition of Samson. You can see that Samson had a sunny disposition. He liked to play practical jokes and do some other things, and he was something. Sunny. Smiles on all the faces as Samson is born. A happy, happy woman. Promise of God. Promise fulfilled. Manoah's wife, nameless, but blessed. Barren, but blessed. Faithful, blessed. A great woman of faith, blessed. Manoah's wife, wise. Counselor, encourager. Wives today, think you can learn something from Manoah's wife? Amen. Guys, we could learn something from Manoah too and listen every once in a while. No, we should listen. Communicate. One of the keys of marriage is communication. Talking to each other. And the application this morning is the acceptable sacrifice. And Jesus Christ is that sacrifice. And that God revealed to them who he was. I'm thankful I know him as my Savior. That he forgave me my sins, and that he lives in my heart. And then the promises, the great and precious promises of God. We simply must trust him in every situation. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas, rest fully on his promise. Why worry, 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 worry? When you can pray, just rest on his promises. Amen. Stand on the promises of God. Let's all stand. Hymn 167, just as I am, just as I am. After we pray, Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you are a personal God who cares. And God, that you are a mighty God with all power. And God, that you know exactly what is going on in our lives, and maybe there's someone in the room today who's never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God, we pray that you would give them courage to step out of their chair and come forward and accept you today. Lord, may they put their trust in you and you alone as their only means of salvation. God, for us Christians today, would you just empower us to live out Manoah's life, his wife's life. More, may we be wise, and God, would you give us wisdom? God, may we be faithful. May we be yielded to you. May we be kind and gracious to others around us. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name.